Then I'll turn my mic up a little bit here. Yeah. There we go. Okay, everybody's sort of seated back down here again. You know the
excellent acoustic.
Acoustics, yes. I'll come a little closer to the microphone. Some have said I'm not terribly audible, so I'll come up a little bit here. We're about to hear some of the most astounding piano music written in the late 20th century. These books of etudes by George Ligeti are just phenomenal, and there will be stunning moments in these pieces. Michael has studied these and has made an absolute sort of set of fireworks for you out of these. Particularly, you know, the fanfares with this kind of giant sounds of fifths that will be moving along, and he points out that it's kind of a Phlomius monk-like in some ways, some of the things that he said about them. One of my favorites is Arc-en-Ciel, the rainbow, with this beautiful, beautiful sort of clusters of sounds. And then I wish we had an overhead camera for the touche bloquée, because it's an amazing piece in which notes that are played are not sounded because one hand is holding them down already, so they can't be sounded again. It's a great visual piece. I wish we could have everybody. You could hear it, yes. But you know, there's this visuality to it. And then the open strings piece again. You know, playing with fifths, playing with open tuning sounds, and playing with the empty spaces inside these notes. And finally, one that I actually really don't know, the Sorcerer's Apprentice. That'll be a new one to me. So this is just fantastic, fantastic music. And it will be brilliantly played. And please, if you have a chance to come and hear this a second time tomorrow at St. Michael's College, do so, because these pieces alone are just sort of blockbuster pieces. Are you ready?
Okay.
Great. Fantastic. Michael Arnowitt will play the Etudes 4, 5, 3, 2, and 10 of George Ligeti.
Hey, it's Calvos, and see, we have a problem with getting certain rights to do stuff, and this is one of those cases, so you won't hear the Ligeti Etudes played by Michael Arnowitt, much as they were fantastic to listen to, so we'll just go back to, I don't know, where we left off with the applause and stuff. So, it's Calvos. You know how it goes.
Great combination, the remarkable Michael Arnowitt and the master of the 20th century, George Ligeti.
Now, not to put George down, but that was still written in the era when composers were paid by the note.
By the note?
Yes. Doesn't happen anymore, you know.
How come I'm not rich?
Because that was then.
That was
then?
This is or I didn't write worthy notes. I couldn't trade on my notes. Speaking of writing many notes,
yeah.
Vermont is... is
cold.
Full of composers. Yes, it's cold,
yes.
But it's also full of composers. It has for many years been the state with more composers per capita than any other. In this room out in the audience, there are many, and then Brian Johnson, who's in the ensemble, and Larry Reed in the ensemble, and of course, new on piano, David Feuerzeig, accomplished composer, and even Steve Klimowski, who occasionally composes for the ensemble. And it keeps producing new composers. There seems to be one coming around that's just tremendously accomplished regularly. And on the program tonight is one of those. Nicholas Klayback is on the program. And will you join us, Nicholas? Come on up. Nicholas is one of those who's come up through the Vermont MIDI project and that's produced. Yes, indeed. So tell us how you got into the composing arena, and tell us about this piece.
Well, I've always been in a musical family, so it's and I'm in couple years ago, I started trying out writing music, you know, write just little things.
How many is a couple years ago, and how old are you now?
This is
frightening.
Well, I'm 17 now.
Okay.
And I guess the first time I ever attempted to write something was when my parents got the notating program on the computer and just fiddled around with it around age 9. So maybe not a couple.
Okay.
Yeah. And this piece is called The Consuming Bog, and it's the story behind it is just a little narrative that I came up with of somebody or something, doesn't necessarily have to be human, gets attracted by just the exotic plants and wildlife that exists in this marsh. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be the ugliest of bogs.
Okay.
Yeah. And
bugs aren't bad.
Yeah. No,
bugs are,
no,
bugs
it's
are
cool.
Good. Wow. Do you have one nearby?
We have, I live in Springfield, so yeah, we have the North Springfield bog.
Ah.
Yeah. And, but unfortunately, those, sorry, those interpretations that our protagonist gets, that's very beautiful. We start to see those little things that hide in the nook and crannies.
The Swamp Thing movie comes to mind.
Yeah. And so what turns out to be, or what starts out as being just a, you know, stroll in the bog, turns into a chase, and it more just a stroll for survival, I guess.
So do you use the story as the driving force of the piece, or do you paint it, or do you actually sort of envision the music first and sort of relate it in some way to your experience?
Most of the time, whenever I've written, it's been that I think of just melodies, whether it be me singing in the shower or whatever.
Is that worth hearing?
Yeah. And then I write it out, and I come up with like a title afterwards, and it comes to mind. This is one of the first pieces I've done where I've actually just come up with the story first, and then thought of musical representations that I can incorporate in a piece to depict certain things that I came up with.
How did you learn to orchestrate? I mean, we've got more than one instrument going on here.
Right. Well, it's been a lot of help with the Vermont MIDI Project, so thank you again for everybody that's helped me. Eric Nielsen is out there. Thank you. And
Eric Nielsen, another composer here in Vermont.
It's also, yeah, it's been a lot of help from adults in different courses, the classes, school, the different things.
And so, just to sort of wrap it up then, your experience in composition and structure and all of that, as well as the orchestration, has all come through your experience with musicians and members of the Vermont MIDI Project.
Right, that's that. And also, I mean, I myself play music. I am a tuba player. And so it's also been a collection from just different pieces that I've played throughout my lifetime.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good luck in this premiere. Nicholas Klayback, and we're about to hear it, The Consuming Bog. what we like, competition.
We're witnessing a new genre, bog music.
Bog music, la musique du bog. David Feiertag, where are you? There you are. Come join us. I am intrigued by this piece.
Which one?
You have more?
The Faux Bourdon.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, homage à Dufay. Tell us who Dufay was.
Dufay was a Renaissance composer from Burgundy, who was one of the great simplifiers. Came around when there was a very, very complex, intricate contrapuntal style. And he apparently from England imported the idea of having just simpler, slower-moving parallel harmonies and kind of bringing that together with the complex tradition to create something that was very accessible and very rich, but still had a lot of intricacy. And
it's hard to describe his music because you come out of an era of a composer like Johannes Achigam, and that music is so difficult that in some ways, let me just bring this down a little bit. In some ways, it took coming back into the 20th century, in mid-20th century, before people were able to reach back and sing that music again. It was so unusual and different.
Yeah, and to get into it, too. I mean, I think Ligeti, for example, who in his day job, when he was living in basically Stalinist Hungary, he couldn't really publicly compose the kind of outlandish music that he was really interested in. So he earned his living as a counterpoint teacher rather than a composition teacher, which means that he was really teaching music, ancient music, ancient musical techniques, which was safe because it was historical, it was history. And Ligeti was actually very influenced by the kind of incredible complexity you're talking about that really is only reappreciated in the 20th century.
Right. And then you get to Dufay, actually almost the same time, really, but Dufay was an incredible melodist. And we really first sort of reached the exquisite beauty of a piece like Adieu Mamour, which some of you may have heard, and if you haven't heard, go out and find Adieu Mamour by Dufay. It is a spectacularly beautiful piece. And of course, the homage to my ears is this liquid sound of Dufay.
Yeah, and also, you know, the fact that his music sounds so mellifluous and there's really no, you know, it's very immediate music, but if you look at what he's doing, there's all kinds of intricate scheming and, you know, playing something backwards at the end that you hear forwards at the beginning and playing something upside down against itself. So he's doing all these kinds of composer, you know, four-dimensional chess games that composers like to do, but you hear it and it doesn't sound at all academic or dry.
Yeah, that's the case with yours. Now, how did you make yours?
Well,
we get to it finally.
You know, I
now don't get tongue-tied now. Pretend you're Dufay and talking about.
I noodle around at the piano a lot, as my family can testify. And when I find things that I like, then I sort of go backwards and try to take them apart and say what's happening here. You know, what can I figure out about this? And then I sort of recombine it in other ways and go back to a lot of noodling. And bringing things together in different ways. But one thing I did in this piece was to take a very simple theme, the chordal theme that you hear at the beginning, and then, as I say in the notes, I'm kind of interested in, you know, what gives something some sort of real melodic energy or profile besides just sounding like this sort of smooth background harmony. So I took that idea and I subjected the same theme, I put it into different scales and different registers and different instrumental combinations and maybe most obviously different speeds, so that there are all these different metrical feels going on against each other, which drove the rest of the musicians crazy trying to figure. They look at their parts and it's like, oh, this is easy, we just have a few notes, and then it took us forever to figure out how to put it all together.
Fantastic piece. I loved it the first time. You get to hear it again, what a treat. And you could hear it two more times if you come to St. Mike's tomorrow. David Feiertag, thanks so much. Here it is, played by the Vermont Contemporary Music Ensemble, Faux Bourdon. ¶¶ Told you I liked it. So you're going to give us a little bit of playing out here.
Yeah, this is another homage, but maybe one that wouldn't be so appreciated by the homagee. This is my version of the writer's brain. But we're going to wait until things are a little
clearer. We're going to wait. Oh, all right, yes. Now, I heard this in a house concert not too long ago, and it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And, you know, Stravinsky kind of made a career out of stealing large clips of music from other people, but something that people really haven't done much to Stravinsky, so
well,
it was time to return the favor.
Of course, Disney took something wholesale.
Well, yeah, but he got paid for that, you know, $500, I think it was.
Yeah, it must have been, something like that.
Yeah, he was not too happy about that, and I don't think he'd be too happy about this. He had a tremendous sense of humor about everything except his own...
His own music, yes.
Yeah.
He's a serious kind of guy. We should have him on the show. Is he still alive?
Yeah, he is. He's cryogenically...
cryogenically, that's about what we're like these
days. He was always kind of a cool character, yeah.
Oh, we're about ready, so let's wrap it up. And don't forget, everybody, that reception afterwards. And we'll have a great time, and we'll have a great time again tomorrow night. Join us. Can we bring the whole ensemble out? I guess they're already undressing back there, so... All right, thanks for coming. Come tomorrow night, come next time. It's April 6th or 7th, I think, sometime in April. You're listening to Calvos and Damien
in the house
on the Non-Pop International Network.